Sacramento, California. This is Mark Bell's PowerCast, sponsored by ThePowerMagazine.com, HowMuchShitBench.net, and BSN, makers of NO Explode. Look for BSN products at bodybuilding.com. Alongside Silent Mike and Jim McDee, here's your host, Mark Bell.
That's your cue to talk.
Oh, hello.
Oh, I was reading a text message from a guy named Brandon Bird Dog Lily. You guys ever heard of him?
No.
Little, maybe.
What's up? Brandon Lily here.
Mountain Dew.
He's
got to give me some Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
We haven't seen him in a long time.
He just told me that he interviewed Big Mo for me. You know Big Mo?
Is that a rapper?
Yeah, it should be. You ever see how big Big Mo is? He's huge.
Big J Mo?
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if I sound homosexual, or if any time during this podcast I sound heterosexual, it's because I have a cold.
Heart. Cold heart.
He has a
cold
heart. Yeah, it's black.
Yeah.
Anyway, he interviewed Big Mo.
Like
Big,
Cole.
Big Mo.
J Mo.
He hit a 23-something total, I think, without knee wraps, just in a pair of knee sleeves. And he broke the world record, I think. And then I think...
what weight class?
Supers.
Just unlimited.
Unlimited.
He's in the unlimited section.
Unlimited.
Yeah. Right near the C
section. I don't like to limit myself by weighing less than...
Yeah, yeah. He weighs a lot.
A ton.
He weighs several hundred pounds. yeah, I think Eric Lillibridge broke his record, but... I wouldn't be surprised to see this guy come back and break it again. So he interviewed him for Power Magazine, which,
awesome.
By the way, we have Dana Lynn Bailey on the next cover, which I'm pretty excited about because she is apparently the ultimate fucking superstar in fitness.
DLB.
DLB.
Kind of looks that way.
We just came back from the LA Fit Expo.
It was nuts.
And her line, I heard, was over hours and hours long.
Well, I was in the booth talking to her hubby.
The DJ booth? Or
I was in the DJ booth and, spitting some rhymes. And, she kind of turned her back to the crowd for a while because she was just getting so killed. And then she was kind of talking to some of us in the booth. And, I kind of hit her on the shoulder. I was like, kind of pointing her back to the crowd because I was like, you should probably get to this girl who's behind you who's in tears. This girl is like drenched in tears. She's just like
so
overcome with emotion. It was crazy. She's just like, I can't believe I'm meeting you. She was just trembling.
Wow.
It was.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been all the clenbuterol. You know, who knows?
I don't know.
We've had that happen here before. We've had our clenbuterol accidents before.
From crying?
In the past.
Oh my
god. Yeah, a 12-year-old girl on clen. It sounds like
starts
a
crying.
Recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
But yeah.
How did you get past their security guard?
Oh, the you never seen me do the swim move?
No, she wanted to stop me.
No, the old swim.
She gave me had me in like a full Nelson.
I know her, the blonde girl.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
We know all the ladies nowadays. We're just talking about this.
Yeah, man. She trains
at Gold's Gym.
No, she does. Does she really?
Yeah, she does.
You actually know her?
Yeah, she was mean mugging though, right?
Yeah, she was mean, man. I walked up.
She had what I like to call a sour puss.
People say it. What's it called? I don't even know. Is it like resting bitch face or something?
Yeah, resting bitch face. Yes. I know. I love that. So, sour puss is good, though.
So her job is security.
It's more disgusting.
So we can't talk too much shit. Her job is to keep creeps away. But I think the issue was I tried to go say what's up to Rob.
Little swim move.
I had Little Smokey with me.
Oh, he's so short. He
yeah,
got
ugly.
In there, though.
No, I got
in.
Oh,
he's ugly, yeah.
I think she was mean mugging because I'm handsome. If I came in alone, maybe she'd be like, oh, yeah, come say hi.
Maybe she's German. She didn't want to let Little Smokey by. You never know.
Poor Smokey.
Goddamn Little Smokey.
Yeah, but Rob's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's
good,
awesome.
Good people.
Awesome. He just waved you guys in, right?
Yeah.
Rob gave me a wink.
Oh.
He said the slingshot guys, bring them in. We trust them.
Slangers.
That's
anyway, it was... the whole expo was amazing, but to see the kind of response that she gets, I think it's only rivaled maybe by Arnold himself. I can't even think of anybody else.
It's pretty nuts,
possibility.
Man.
Phil Heath can walk through the crowd, and people will be fired up and excited, and Ronnie Coleman. And
saw Jay Cutler walk past the booth a couple of times.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people like that. Or even
Jay Cutler's awesome. You know, he's very accomplished. I think he won the Olympia like 4 times, but he's walking by the booth by himself.
Yeah.
You know, Daniel and Bailey cannot walk down the aisle.
No, Rob like guards are everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's just as popular almost.
Yeah, true.
There was
he's
trainer.
He's got like a band or something.
Yeah, you've never heard his music?
I've heard his music.
It's angry rock rap. It's good. It's good lifting music.
Well, it's all over YouTube, and he's got tons of views on there.
Yeah. I think one of the trainers from Biggest Loser was there. Hmm. I forgot his name. The African-American
Billy
gentleman.
Banks?
No, he was there too, though.
Yeah, we did see him. He was right outside the booth.
Yeah, with Eric the Trainer.
Eric the Trainer.
Fat Oberst.
Oh, yeah. Fatty Oberst, throwing people around left and right.
What's a guy's name, man? Whatever.
Oberst with the overhead press on Kim Tran.
That was his easiest overhead press ever.
Yeah, it was.
He didn't even care. He almost threw her into the crowd. She palmed her. She like palmed her by
20.
The butt.
Yeah. The old bowling ball move.
Yeah. Whoa. I didn't mean that.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Two in the pink, one in the stink.
Did it go that far?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So someone. Yeah.
It went very far.
I got questions on here.
You see Jesse Burdick's face?
Yeah. He was so scared. I don't know why, though.
No, he was jelly.
Oh. He wanted to be lifted or he wanted to lift
this is like. Jesse has been eagerly awaiting his chance to get lifted, and he has not been lifted yet. He's, maybe he needs to dress to impress. Maybe he needs to change up his game a little bit or something.
That would be the picture of the year. Overhead pressing Jesse.
He might need to step up his game.
He may have to cut to 198 again.
Yeah, he's going to need to do something different because Obi's not looking his way for whatever goddamn reason.
It could be Katie Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, everyone, I don't know if everyone knows this, but Katie Hogan and Jesse Burdick are getting married at some point.
Getting married.
They're
they
engaged.
Got engaged.
He's changing his name to Jesse Hogan.
Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
Sounds so fake.
He's going to be related to the Hulkster. It's going to be amazing.
He's always going to be Jesse Burdick to me, but, you know.
Jesse Burpecker.
Burpecker. Exactly.
Burdick.
It's so cold. Cold cock.
We got questions, and I don't want to even take them all, but one asked how people react to us in public. I figure that's kind of what we're talking about.
They react to us by just walking right past us, usually.
Mostly. This expo was a little nuts.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was good.
A lot of pictures, a couple autographs, a couple guys just brought us monsters, finally.
People brought us monsters,
finally.
It just depends on where we're at. Like at the expos, you get a decent response, and it gets better and better every time we go. Around town, it's a little bit more rare, but it's been happening more and more.
Yeah.
More and more all the time. I went to, Dos Coyote in Davis the other day, and the manager's like, let me get you something for free. I was like, all right, cool. He's like, I watch everything. He's like, you guys are doing great. And I'm like, okay,
that's
cool.
Great.
Yeah.
That blows my mind. Well, you know, when we started all this years ago, all of our fans were fat powerlifters.
Yeah.
100% of them.
Oh, they were real fat. Dude.
Yeah.
Like, real. You know who you are.
I've been around to maybe 2.5 years worth of expos.
Yeah.
The very first, I think, was the Olympia, maybe San Jose 2013, something like that. And they're all fat.
Yeah.
And then the progression through the times.
Yeah.
Now there's some ladies even.
There was like three great looking ladies that listened to the podcast.
The three women that, we met them. Thank you.
All three of our lady listeners. And they happen to all be pretty.
Yeah.
And they all are fans. It was amazing.
I would never have guessed that that was going to happen. I would never have
guessed. I saw some role reversal going on where the guys, where the woman was handing the camera to the guy saying, take a picture of
me. Yeah, I saw some of that.
I was kind
of
surprised.
Yeah. Where they're like, I listen to the podcast all the time.
I'm always surprised by that.
Yeah, but sometimes you get a picture with a girl and the guy wouldn't even want one or probably didn't even know who we were.
Yeah.
Right.
I hurt my
feelings. Well, you know, I think that we also assume that that in couples, it's usually the guy that's going to be the one that's into working out, whatever, and it can it can go the other way, and it does. I think you know.
I'm surprised too. I guess the Olympia, you just get a bunch of freaks. The Arnold's general fitness people, but some of these local expos like the LA and San Jose. You get people that are just finding something to do on the weekend.
Yeah. Right.
But this one seemed pretty fitness oriented, a pretty educated crowd.
I was really shocked.
Yeah,
we were so busy on Saturday too. Not that we weren't busy all weekend, but Saturday was nuts.
Yeah. Picture, sell slingshot.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
Saturday was crazy, and it was cool to do it, without even having a bench there. That was kind of different.
Here's the
have a bench.
It didn't even matter. People knew what the slingshot was.
Tell the audience what the response is from that one guy.
Yeah, here's the best quote of the weekend. Someone said, I got to meet you and buy a slingshot product from Mark. and you. I don't know what that means. He bought them for both of us. Anyways, he said it was like buying a Bible from Jesus. Thanks.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
That's a great quote.
But we had, I think you had one person who come up who came up to tell you that he lost like 110 pounds or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah, a kid. Yeah, he was a kind of a young kid. He lost 120 pounds or something.
Yeah, yeah, we had another guy tell us he lost 65. He didn't look like he had much more to go. Really, honestly, it looked like he was in pretty good shape now.
Yeah,
and just like, you guys really inspired us. The Eight Man Strong Brothers,
right?
Talked about how they, you know, they sit in their warehouse and pack up orders and listen to the podcast.
That's funny.
They've been watching the videos and they were inspired by how you started Slingshot.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing is you just fucking start and you don't look back and you just keep moving forward. I mean, you hear people say it all the time. And it sounds so cliche, you know, and people are like, they don't get it, or they're trying to look for like a recipe, but that's what those guys seem to be doing. They're just, you know,
just plowed in.
Yeah, they're getting some gear out, in the space that they like, which seems to be powerlifting.
Yeah.
And what do you see more now? You see more Ape Man Strong shit all over the place. So,
yeah.
You just get it started.
Yeah,
get
same
ball,
with lifting.
Get that ball rolling.
Same response to everything. Guys are like, well, how do I get my deadlift from 400 to 600? Well, deadlift every week.
Right.
Don't get hurt.
Right. And you know, with a business, a huge thing that people don't realize is once you start, there really is no turning back. I mean, it's a commit. It's like having a fucking child. It's a commitment for a long time, especially with an invention, you know. Sometimes I nearly give myself a heart attack thinking about it, but it's something that you got to keep pushing forward. You know, the idea dies with me, you know, pretty much.
Right,
so
right.
I got to try to build that motherfucker up as much as I possibly can.
Your clock's ticking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of on the same topic
here. You never know.
Someone's got a question. Can you talk about managing your time? I have a busy schedule. Maybe some tips or tricks of making every minute count.
First thing I would say is try to wake up earlier if possible, because waking up earlier would then mean that hopefully you're trying to get to bed a little bit earlier. And what I find that does is that can help just make you more productive during the day. And it also help with your sleep. A lot of people have trouble sleeping. You know, people constantly have issues with sleep. If you just start trying to wake up, you know, maybe an hour earlier, maybe don't throw yourself too much of a curve. Try an hour at first. I think you'll find yourself, when it comes time to fall asleep, that you'll be sleeping better. I think a lot of times people are wasting time, and I'm totally guilty of this too, at night. You know, you end up on your phone, you end up fucking around on your phone. It's advice from Kelly Starrett and some other people is to, you know, try to put your phone, you know, charge it in another room or charge it in another area.
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're, you know, some on-call doctor or something like that, then.
I'm an on-call Instagrammer.
Yeah. Yeah. Do this right now, goddammit.
Most of the time, any text message you get in the middle of the night is not what you need, unless, you know, you're waiting on a booty call or something like that.
Yeah, hey now.
You know.
With the way Slingshot and podcast is moving, that may be likely.
Yeah, you never know.
I just to back up for a second, I don't know that we have. I think we have a good message, and I think we've always had a good message, and I think that we're people who've experienced things in life and in the gym or whatever. We have stuff to say,
right?
But the biggest impact is that we're out there. You know, people can hear what our story is.
Right.
They hear they come here every week. They watch the videos. I mean, it's because we're telling our story that our story resonates.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, back to time management. Obviously, like, blocking things out helps. Like I say, you know, 9 to 11 every morning is all emails. 11 to 1 every day is all my marketing or whatever else. 1 to 2, I'm checking on all the, you know, Slingshot athletes and supporters. And then the nighttime, hopefully I got time to lift and do whatever else bullshit.
Yeah, if you can make even just a soft schedule for yourself, something that to follow at least – at the very least, loosely, that'll help quite a bit. So, and then also, always be prepared. You know, going into each day, make sure you're prepared for the next day. I remember when Reebok was out here doing a shoot, the camera crew was telling me how they have to get their stuff a day, you know, a full day in advance, 24 hours in advance. They have to rent the equipment for an extra day because they have to check on everything,
right.
Make sure everything's working.
Sure,
you know, everything's supposed to work. You know, when you get it, it's
like this monitor that's to my right here was supposed to be working. Yeah. And it's not working today.
It's supposed to work. And so rather than them being backtracked and all fucked up the next day. So little shit like, you know, getting gas at night instead of getting gas in the morning.
Right.
You know, just trying to be prepared for each day and making sure kind of the shit that you, you know, hopefully if you grew up with a pops like mine, then you kind of saw him doing those things and you learned from that kind of stuff. Each and every day. So try to be prepared going to each day with your meals and all that kind of stuff. It'll really help a lot.
I'm not entirely successful with it yet, but my goal now that we have a place, now I have an office here, is to try to work in the office and not work at home as much, because you know, when you set your own schedule, your work will eat you alive, and you will not have time for other things, and that work time becomes less productive because you're trying to juggle the other things that suddenly are a priority. You know,
yeah, the work emergency that you have ahead of you might only be 2 hours worth of work, but it turns into 7 hours,
because you're constantly
flipping through everything else.
Yeah, constantly interrupted, you know.
What are your opinions on guys who only wear compression pants in the gym and showing off their bulges?
Oh, my God. You know.
We don't have a lot of that.
Do they look good in them?
What's the question?
Really
guys that only wear compression pants?
Yeah, but what are my thoughts on them?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, what are your opinions?
Oh, my opinion.
On the bulge.
How long do your eyes rest on them?
Yeah, my opinion. I don't know. I think everyone's eyes just go right towards the crotch.
No matter what, huh? Like a
male
dog.
Male, female, I think. Yeah, I think it's just like.
Why is it so weird? Like, everyone knows a dog sniffs a dog and it's fine, but like, it's weird. If someone caught me and you looking at another guy's bulge, it would be
over.
Well,
if you just took your pants off right now, it would be, you'd be like, why are you checking out my dick? I'd be like, well, you just took your fucking pants off.
So you're saying it's normal?
God damn.
I'm normal.
It's the bullseye of your lower body. Yeah. You know, if you think about it.
Weird.
God damn. I would say, like, you know, at least have a shirt that's going to, you know.
Yeah, a longer shirt, shirt or a hoodie or something.
Yeah, just in case.
What about, like, compression pants and a stringer, like an ass muff?
Oh, my God.
It's too much.
Well,
huh?
Compression pants, you know, keep in mind, everybody, that everything's getting compressed, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's
and
embarrassing.
When you have a lot of compression, you might end up with some depression.
Yeah, this is true.
If you know what I mean.
Well, you know, you can only, you can't stop Omar. You can only hope to contain it with compression.
Compress his fucking face.
Yeah.
Here's a great little topic.
You need to compress Mike Schnoz. Look at that thing. It's going to knock
it. It hits the mic every time.
Yeah.
I can't get close enough to the mic.
Yeah, you're like 6 inches away. Whoa.
Four and a half.
Hello.
I've measured. Can or does geared powerlifting translate to raw powerlifting?
That Schnoz has gotten bigger.
I don't think so. Actually, I've heard
the schnoz presses. I think you knocked it.
I
it's
heard
nose growth hormone.
I've heard nose and ears stop growing.
Yeah.
Or maybe
yeah.
balls too. Or no, is that
they just sag more?
Yeah, that's so bad, man.
I don't know about balls.
If I have a larger nose at 26,
giant nose and giant nut sack, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
you'd be sniffing your own balls all day.
It's possible.
That happens anyway.
Now that schnoz, it's bigger. I think the schnoz presses are affecting it.
So they're in hypertrophy?
I think the schnoz presses are, they're supposed to hit your triceps, but I think they're hitting the schnoz.
Yeah, my triceps are looking small.
It's growing.
Son of a bitch.
God damn.
All right, next question. Sorry, buddy, we skipped you.
I don't think we even answered that
question. Yeah, does geared powerlifting translate to raw powerlifting, and how? And show some a couple examples.
I think it does a little bit. I don't think it does a lot. I think that overload is one part of it for sure.
I think it depends on how people are training and then you know how much gear they're wearing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If they consistently are always you know using boards and squatting really high and stuff like that, then it may not translate over all that well. But if they're doing the movements correctly and they're just getting some overload from the gear, such as Ed Cohn. Ed Cohn, I believe, deadlifted like 900 pounds for a double going into his famous 901 deadlift at 220, which was all done raw. But the point is that he wore a squat suit often, and he got a lot out of his not a lot out of his squat suit, but he got a lot of overload training from using his squat suit. I think there's video of him doing 920 or 975 maybe. For like two reps with the straps down and just some knee wraps on. So
I think that, the answer is that the way a lot of people use gear, no.
Yeah,
right,
maybe.
Right.
I think the easiest example to show is that, yes, it does, such as a slingshot or such as knee wraps. You know, Eric Lillibridge, even Matt Wenning, Brandon Lilly. For the simplest point is Eric Lillibridge always, almost year-round, squats and knee wraps, takes them off and murders 900. Guys like Matt Wenning and Brandon Lilly have been in this sport forever, and they're predominantly multi-ply guys, maybe with single-ply thrown in. They take their gear off, change their stance up a little bit, and they're both squatting high eights, benching six, pulling 700-800 pounds. So in some sense, you know, strength is strength, whereas geared lifting may just...
Jimmy Pacifico is very strong.
Yeah, he benches six something.
Kind of a multi-ply lifter. Usually you're going to see like the top end, and I'm not going to say, you know, that you can only get so much out of it, but usually the top end for like a bench shirt that you're going to be able to squeeze out of it is 200 or 300 pounds for someone who's really strong.
Right.
Now you might have some guys outside that curve, like a Tiny Meeker or something like that, who's still really strong, you know, anyway without the bench shirt, but the numbers sound so skewed and so fucked up.
Yeah,
but I think I wouldn't be surprised if the guys bench 650 without a bench shirt on.
I was saying Mendelsohn had the record in both.
Right, yeah. Mendelsohn had a record in both. But a 650 bench just doesn't sound like a lot when you hear that the guy did like 9 or 11:30 or something. You're just like, oh, that sounds... And myself, I did a 562 versus an 854.
Yeah. Different body weight, but yeah.
Yeah, well, the 854 just sounds so retarded, you know? Sounds so much higher.
Well, something else that I've noticed you doing, and I've seen it around in other places too, that is maybe not obvious to everyone, is like at what point you use the gear. Like maybe something like straps for the deadlift. Like you will take some of your heavier... sets with the straps and then take them off for the last couple lifts.
Right.
You know, I mean, you're sort of preserving your grip for the last max pulls.
Yeah. And I've done, other way too, where you go the whole training, you know, most of the training session without the straps and then only use them for like almost like the assistance exercises because there's more reps associated with them and it just kind of beats up your hands.
That's
more.
What I kind of typically do.
You know, shit like that. I mean, yeah, powerlifting gear of any kind, whether it's straps or belts or slingshots or even squat suits or briefs to a certain extent. Not so much bench shirts, so they get to be a little bit wild. But most of this stuff will help you quite a bit either way, whether your goal is to be raw or geared.
If you're dependent on it for your numbers increasing, period, it probably won't.
Right.
You know, if you're using it as a tool... Why not?
It can help, yeah. Just like using a board press or a slingshot or any of that kind of stuff.
Schnauz press. This guy has some trouble with his lockout on the sumo. He said he's really fast off the floor but hits a brick around his knees. He said he's tried to do some block pulls, but they haven't seemed to work. He phrased this funny. I've tried block pulls as well, but they haven't seemed to do wonders.
Oh, my God. So he's stalling out his knees is what he's kind of saying?
Yeah, on the sumos.
Interesting. I think, you know, if he's currently not doing conventional training, I think some conventional deadlifts will help a lot because conventional deadlifts just tend to build up your lower back.
Yeah.
With that being said, exercises like good mornings and stuff like that should help as well. Sumo, stiff leg deadlifts can be really effective just because they're going to help build up the hammies and they'll help build up your butt, which will help should help you a lot with your lockout.
What's the name of that stop and go version of the deadlift?
A Dimmel or a pause?
No, the paused ones. Yeah, where you're pausing it two or three places along the way.
Yeah, I think also just looking at your form, if you're started in a rounding position, it's going to be really hard to lock anything out. So taking time to make sure you're tight out of the bottom. Everyone tries to rush a deadlift, you know, because you see all these pros like Dan Green and Eric Lillibridge. They make a big hip pump and then they slam it. You don't necessarily have to slam on it, you know. Make sure you're tight.
You know, in our gym here, we got Dave Ziske, who could probably make 650, 700, and 750 all look the same.
The
lockout is always going to be a little bit challenging. And for him, something that has been helping but hasn't totally fixed everything just yet is you know, him focusing in on the positioning from the bottom. So the way you start oftentimes will be the way that you finish. If you can find exercises, this is a real key. If you can find exercises that'll help you, assist you to get in better position, then that's the real golden nugget there.
I've always wished that I could spend as much time down at the bar setting up mentally and physically as Ed Cohn did.
I know.
He could be down there forever.
I don't know what he was doing.
I don't know either, but he was winding himself up. Yeah. You know, he was getting in a better position, pulling the slack out of the bar, getting ready to go.
I do think that repetitions would help as well for somebody who's getting stuck wherever your sticking point is. I think it will help a lot because you'll go when you do repetitions, you go through the sticking point multiple times.
Right.
When you're doing max effort work, the goal is to kind of strain through those sticking points. And sometimes you end up with that being valuable in a training session, and sometimes you don't. It's kind of hit or miss on the attempts that you take.
Yeah,
it doesn't always work out quite the way that you want it to. But if you can do 3 sets of 5, and out of those 15 reps, 10 to 12 of them are getting compromised and the lockout's getting sticky, then you had a fucking awesome workout, and it should help a lot.
We got a shout-out from a lady listener in Australia.
Oh, my God.
So amazing. She used the hip circle every day. Warm ups and never had a knee issue since.
Your ass is gonna be so big. It's gonna be awesome.
It probably already is. There's a great question up here somewhere. I gotta hunt it down. Hunter down. What do we got going on?
You're hunting down some questions.
Is there a correlation between increasing your poop total and your powerlifting total?
If like you're... the poop frequency?
Yeah, he said total. I don't know if that means volume or frequency.
Hmm.
Be more specific with your questions.
I think, yeah, it probably means both.
Frequency, no matter how much you're pooping, if you're pooping often, you'll probably end up pooping more.
Yeah.
Pooping?
Oh, because you'll be eating more.
Yeah, right.
I'm so confused by everything right
now. Pooping more, yeah, pooping more or pooping more? that's the real question.
More poop.
So
anyway, back to that goddamn expo that we just came back from.
Yes.
Yeah, what about it? What you got?
We got to meet the folks behind Caveman Coffee.
I was about to say, the Slingshot booth was cracking, man.
Yeah, it was. Crack-a-lacking.
We had the Dean Amin.
Yeah, why would Jesse Burdick almost get into a fight with him? What is he
doing? Why was he talking shit to the Dean Amin? Does he know who he is?
I don't know. Jesse's like, oh, yeah, you can throw this on your hips. And
yeah,
then,
dance around.
And he's like, and you can throw punches. And then he starts throwing punches at Burdick. I'm like, Burdick's going to die.
Yeah.
I hate Burdick, but I don't want him to die.
Yeah, he threw on the hip circle.
Not in the booth.
Yeah, you can just tell he's like an elite athlete by how he just starts moving. He's in like jeans. He walks around all grizzled.
Yeah. He started springing around. Yeah, he was so excited.
Yeah, his feet are moving hella fast. Yeah. It was great.
He's throwing hooks and shit. I was like, oh my God, Burdick's going to die. He's going to get kicked upside his fat head.
Yeah, it's very, very possible.
Oh my God.
So for those of you who are not following along at home, we met Keith Jardine.
Yeah, let's list our celebrity friends.
And Tate Fletcher.
Mr. Equalizer, ass kicker.
Yeah, he's
in a bunch
of
movies.
Got in a fight with Denzel and Equalizer.
He's in John Wick, too.
I think he's in a ton of movies, and I think more to come. And I think he was in the UFC.
Yeah, we'll have him up here at some point. Tate Fletcher, we'll have him up here. And some of the other folks
How
that work
huge
with
was he?
Caveman Coffee. Yeah, he's a big guy.
I didn't expect that.
Very
big,
tall.
Big, burly guy, big old beard and
shit. A lot of beard.
His mom flex. Was there. How cool was that?
His mom, that was she got a hip circle, right?
He looks like a badass, and he comes over, and his mom's the sweetest thing.
Yeah,
ever.
Yeah, yeah.
That was great.
Cool. Stop by.
Good was that coffee, though? They have that the nitro coffee.
Amazing. Canned, so single serve, cold brew nitro.
Saved our lives.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That and the fans who brought us monsters. Shout out to anybody who brought us monsters.
Yeah.
We will be in the Arnold in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Hit us up there with.
Yeah, we need some more of that shit.
Yeah, it was great.
Mike Rashid came by the booth, and Mike Rashid is coming up here to Super Training. We'll be podcasting with him, filming him, shooting photos with
him. Filming him? What?
Mm-hmm.
Installing cameras in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. Lifting some weights.
I did find out some disturbing news about Mike Rashid, though, when we were there. I had no idea the guy was black.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I told him. I said, I got to uninvite you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, things have changed.
We have a limit at the gym. We got two people. We got two black guys.
We got three now.
Son of a bitch, they're taking over.
Yeah, I don't know.
God damn.
Who else?
Anyway, Mike Rashid,
Furious
the beast.
Pete.
Yeah, Furious
the
Pete.
The homie Furious Pete came by.
Yeah, the infamous eater.
Yeah, I heard he has 12 Guinness World Records.
Really? God damn.
That's amazing.
But not for drinking Guinness.
Maybe.
Oh.
I wouldn't put it past him.
He's mainly a speed eater, right?
I don't. Oh, compared to volume.
Well, doesn't he normally just chuck shit down?
Yeah,
fast?
We went to In-N-Out and he was like bored, I guess. So he handed me his camera and he's like, "Film this." And he like ate a double In-N-Out burger in 2 bites.
That's amazing.
His jaw like opens like a fucking cobra.
He ate 2 double-doubles in how much time you think?
The other one was a little more casual, but the one was less than 10 seconds.
He just stuffed them both right in his face.
Yeah, and just swallowed it. And
before the
that's it.
Before the internet corrects
you, that guy's amazing.
Boa constrictor.
Oh, what did I say? Cobra.
Cobra. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
The internet kills.
Yeah.
Oh, eating like a pig. You mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they'd get on me like cobras don't have that jaw.
They eat like kids. You ever see those stories where there's like a kid missing and then they find out there was a
why is all that always
a 400-pound boa constrictor underneath the house?
Why is that always in Florida? It's only in Florida.
That's so terrifying. Is that real? Are those stories real?
I honestly think they're real. Don't get
kind of like the Argentinian wolf boy.
He's real.
Yeah, he's real scary. Have you ever seen? I don't think you've ever seen.
I googled it once you started calling me wolf boy.
Yeah,
I was a little insulted. I had to see
those fuckers are real, man.
Who else stopped by? Robert Oberst.
Robert Oberst with his big old beard and his big old laugh. Oh.
Little Kim Tran. Who broke some world records?
385 pound squat.
That's an all-time world record.
All-time world record.
114s.
And then she also
total
got a world record total. She benched 192, I think.
Yeah, pulled 360.
Yep. I think she just missed her last. I don't know how many lifts she missed. She missed two lifts. I think she missed her last bench, and I think she missed her last. Deadlift. Her deadlift in the meet was pretty sloppy.
I didn't see it.
I saw a video. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, I know she took a fourth attempt at the squat, 402. Yeah. Said it was just felt a little heavy.
As a coach, that's when you watch that shit and you're like, I wish I could have been there because she just it wasn't that. I mean, her form wasn't that bad. It's just like you said. She earlier people tend to rush.
Yeah.
You want to be rushing. But you don't want to be rushing.
Yeah.
See?
Don't hurry, just rush. Or be quick, but don't hurry. That's
something
John
like that.
Wooden.
Hmm?
John Wooden.
Yeah. Be quick, you got to slow down when you're going fast.
Yeah.
God damn. You got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
Yeah, I don't know if that was the same. Who else came by? Not everybody coming by the booth.
We had Little Smokey in the booth.
Little
that was amazing.
Smokey's first time in the booth.
You know, the other day
he got recognized.
Was trying to did he really?
He got recognized and got an autograph in his very first.
That's awesome.
I can't believe it. I'm so proud of
you,
Little
Smokey. He's way ahead of you already.
He's growing up. Yeah, it took me like four expos to get an autograph.
That's awesome.
Well, the Arnold last year, so you're coming up on a year.
Well, at least he didn't devalue anything this time.
Who, me? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
By having
very true. So sad.
But yeah, Little Smokey, he did a good job in the booth. It was good having him. It's just always cool to get out to these different expos and run into these different fans, people that are excited about the product, wanting to try the product out.
I know who came by. Mr. Barton B. Kwan.
The third.
And Gio Antoinette. I think that's how you say her name. She actually does sound like a queen or something. Antoinette.
Yeah,
that's fucking fancy.
She's
the
awesome.
Homies from Barbell Brigade.
Yeah, a bunch of Barbell Brigaders came by. A bunch of
their booth was cracking.
Yeah, they were going
nuts.
They had a good response. It's a good gym.
That's great.
That gym is where it's at.
Yeah, it's very rare.
For sure.
There's not a lot of gyms like that.
No, there's not shit in LA, that's for sure. You're not gonna find. Remember when we were there too, like it was like 7 o'clock at night or something, and some other crew came in and started lifting.
Yeah, it's cool.
It wasn't like a Sunday night?
Yeah, I was there all week this week. It was just like that. We first showed up maybe 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock at night, and there was at least 20 people powerlifting.
Really?
Yeah, it was nuts on a Tuesday or Wednesday.
And maybe just because it's L.A. and just people can't get to certain spots until later in the day.
Yeah.
Because the traffic is such shit, you know? Try to get somewhere in the middle of the day is hard.
Yeah, maybe. And I think a lot of them are students.
Yeah.
So maybe they have late class or something.
And it's maybe not the very, very best part of L.A., is that?
It's an okay part.
Okay.
It's like outskirts of downtown. I don't know.
It doesn't seem that bad.
No, by the gym's fine. Yeah. You go up a couple streets, it gets a little weird.
Yeah.
But that's kind of L.A., right?
Yeah. There just wasn't even a lot of people in that
area,
though.
Nothing. They're right next to like a cement factory.
Yeah.
So there's nothing going
like
on.
Like UPS or something?
Yeah, there's nothing weird by it.
Yeah, U.S.
It's UPS. Just like 5 minutes away. Things get weird. What about a gym fashion? Is it important or not? Example, the latest
Apparently. Latest
brands versus the old school t-shirts and shorts.
Apparently it's a big deal because I saw a lot of apparel companies, Gymshark, You know,
they're taking over, man.
Yeah, they're killing it. They had a big ass booth.
I don't really understand half of it, but whatever. That's cool. People can figure out a way to make clothes that people like, then fuck it.
Yeah, that company's gone nuts. They from the UK. The owners are like 26 or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You know, the one thing that always concerns me is there's a business case from years ago about Levi Strauss, you know, blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
They took a look at who was buying other stuff, and it was all young people. And they panicked because young people's tastes change
quickly. Yeah, real quick.
Real quick.
Well, they're the ones that set trends.
Yeah.
You know, and anything really trendy can't be that successful.
Right. The bottom will fall out at some point. So that does kind of concern me. But, you know, an apparel company isn't necessarily the most expensive thing to get into in the first place.
I think they make kind of small runs of stuff, and then you just kind of move on to the next thing.
Right.
As long as they can, capitalize on some trends and then capitalize on some trend. As long as they capitalize on some trend, then they should be fine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get that joke.
That's all right.
Somebody said it's time for Mike to hop on steroids.
On there?
Yeah.
That's great.
On the stairs?
Calling me out.
Steroids.
Sorry, I'm so skinny.
How do they know that you're not on them right now? You could be loaded right now. They wouldn't even know what hit them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't even know what hit them.
Do I not look like it?
You look pretty huge.
Thanks. Someone told me I look bigger in person than on camera.
A lot of people said that. I was like, yeah, I look bigger in person than I do on your phone, of course. I mean, that one makes sense.
It's three quarters of an inch tall on your phone.
Yeah.
Well, so you have that. You have people looking on you on a 5-inch screen, but then I'm in every video with you.
Right.
We got like 100 pounds difference. I always look tiny.
I think I weigh 300 pounds more than you, by the way, officially.
If we had to do the math.
Yeah, there's 200 extra pounds on my face that you forgot about.
Yeah. Subtract the wiener, add the nose, something like that.
Add the nose to the giant balls?
Maybe.
Oh, my
God. It's very possible. All right, all these questions. Worst injury ever. These questions suck.
I'm not going to answer that question. But I saw that Matt Wenning did really good at the Raw Unity meet.
Killed it.
Dan Green kicked a lot of ass.
Killed
again,
it. Our boy T. Cummings squatted 821. He's like 24 years old at 220.
Yeah. What did he squat? 8 something?
821, I believe.
821?
Going nuts, man.
Son of a bitch.
Going nuts, man.
People be perving on him.
He just kind of missed the 744 deadlift. Is that right?
I think he got stuck.
Gave it two of them. Oh, you know who else stopped by the booth? Big Ron. Big Ron Partlow.
Can't forget
Big Ron.
Big Ronnie. Yeah.
He'll be in here at some point.
Yeah, he will.
Ron's going to come hang out.
He just said no summer. He
doesn't like the heat.
He's like fucking Frosty the Snowman.
Hey, you better hurry up then. It's going to get hot up here soon.
Yeah, it'll be a million degrees
up here soon.
We probably got 5-6 weeks to get him in here.
We are going to have Christopher Duffin up here. I think that maybe the weekend after the Arnold.
My understanding is that
him and Efferdink.
Yeah, Stan Efferdink would like to come along. They're new best friends.
They're besties.
Did he name him
the Mad Scientist? Is that Stan's?
I think that
they call him the Mad Scientist of powerlifting now.
Duffin has been helping out Spoto with some rehab stuff because Duffin has fucked himself up so many different times that he's basically become a doctor.
Yep.
And he's got that shoulder... invention out. I'd like to check that thing out. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you'd been offered one because if not, I'm going to buy one because.
Yeah. He was talking about.
Damn.
He was talking about sending one out or something like that. I'd love to check it out.
Some kind of hammer.
I don't know how many he's got like in production or whatever.
Yeah, he was. I think he was going to start shipping the pre-orders this month.
Oh, okay.
February. So.
Yeah, he said he was going to hit me up when it's available or whatever. So I'd give him time on that, let people purchase it, you know?
Yeah, Stan said he really liked it. His mistake was maybe starting a little too heavy with it.
Yeah.
I think that you can be less coordinated than, like, Indian clubs require. Most of us are not that coordinated. I'm not that coordinated.
You know who else stopped by? Miss Annie Sakamoto. One of the CrossFit vets. That was cool to meet her.
Was there for the MPGL Pro
Day.
Yeah,
something like that. Yeah. But she's like one of the best CrossFitters. Probably if they had a Hall of Fame, she'll be a first nominee. It was cool to meet her. She was really nice. Jacked. Tiny little lady.
Yeah, pretty jacked. Pretty
super
yoked.
Super jacked.
Our board buddy.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Hitchcock.
Buddy Hitchcock.
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 Yeah, there was some sort of grid league thing going on there.
Yeah, that was there. I think that maybe instead of doing combines this year, they're doing pro days, but I could be wrong. I think they're inviting specific people and they're doing it as part of events.
Our boys from Cal Strength were around hanging out.
McGahey.
Yeah, Willis
was there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He did the races. Willis, he did the pro day.
Amazing.
Yeah, I just watched a video with him this morning. He's
sick.
He's trying to get signed.
Some other guy did get signed. Youngstown, what's his name? He was a wide receiver in the NFL.
Oh.
He like clean and jerks. He powered.
Oh, he's on the grid league now?
Yeah, he like.
What about fucking Donovan McNabb? Wasn't he doing CrossFit or something?
Oh, yeah, what did we see? Oh, yeah, he was doing overhead presses with like 200 pounds or something.
I think he did 275.
That was hilarious. That was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. He was like on a basketball court though or something. Yeah, he's probably at Rick Ross's house.
Yeah, it was weird.
That was awesome though. Way stronger than I expected. Yeah, but this NFL wide receiver, like power cleans, like 415, just
damn.
A mutant.
That's a huge fucking
yeah. It was actually
power clean.
I was creeping on his Instagram, and he has like some company. I don't know if he's sponsored with him or with him, but it's basically a collar for a barbell, or you could wear it like as a bracelet, I think. And it's acts as a tendo unit type thing.
Ooh.
So it'll send you a bunch of feedback to your computer, maybe via Bluetooth, about bar path, bar speed, maximal power, acceleration.
People are so into like feedback about like what they're eating and how many fucking steps they take.
Well, we talked about that. Like that's the next thing, right? Like the analyzer, the vessel drink that tells you what the macronutrients. Like,
I just think
sensors.
I just think it's going to come and go fast, and something.
Yeah.
You know, something easier will probably come along.
Maybe
you know?
Sensors are cool though.
Right.
But the truth is, with most of these things, a sensor will give you, maybe exact analytics of what's going on.
Right.
But you can judge, right? So like,
Faster, asshole.
Yeah. I didn't exercise enough today, and I ate too much. Hence why I'm fat.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
Yeah.
You exercise a little more and eat a little bit less.
Right.
Same with lifting, right? Like, that 500-pound deadlift didn't move like I wanted. Well, then rest or figure out your form and move it fucking faster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always need a computer to tell me I suck.
Yeah.
I might.
I think you do. I think you do. Just
fucking sue them. Your stupid module put me in depression.
Yeah, everybody goes crazy about those tendo units and stuff. And I guess if it fits your personality, then go for it. Like if you're into that and you want to actually take time to analyze it all, then go for it. Like the Lakers strength coach was saying, they have the ability to check every player and every play. How many times up and down the court they go, how many jumps they do.
Yeah, how long they're running.
Yeah, how many minutes they played, how many times they touched the ball, blah, blah, blah. He's got this whole list of things. But unless somebody can, on the back end, analyze it all and make sense of it all, then there's no point in recording that data.
Yeah, this is true.
The Spurs are supposed to be kind of on the cutting edge of it all, and they actually utilize the data to pull players from the game and have people play less when they've
I was watching it.
Jumped around too much.
ESPN special with Popovich, Tony Parker, Manu, and Tim Duncan. They're just sitting there talking and stuff.
The team's loaded, so
they're the most underrated sports team in the history of sports.
Yeah,
really. They're ridiculous. Yeah, they're absolutely ridiculous. They've been in the playoffs forever.
Playoffs,
championships forever. Yeah. They win every single fucking year.
Well, they were a team. You know, both the Spurs and the Patriots were both teams that, when I was a kid growing up, they both sucked.
Yeah,
they didn't really do anything until the last decade or so, you know?
I guess right before you, the Spurs were okay, with the Iceman, George Gervin.
Yeah, I mean,
they
weren't
winning
championships.
Yeah, not in the 80s.
No.
But then they got David Robinson, they became okay.
Right. Yeah.
And then they got Tim Duncan, and Popovich became studly. My man Wayne from Barbara Brigade made a comment, and I'm a little offended. Basically what he said is, you guys are take questions and end up talking about dicks and Jimmy Fallon. And I thought that was a little rude of him, that he just expects us not to answer people's questions.
We don't talk about dick that much.
Yeah, not
here.
Too much.
It's not like it's coming out of our ears or anything.
Not our mouths.
Not as much as, you know, we could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could be a whole podcast about
definitely
dicks.
Up our dick game.
Yeah. So
I definitely need to up my dick game.
So I'm going to throw this question out here. This is a change that we're contemplating. You know, if you saw the live episode, we stood up for that one. And Mark has expressed a desire to stand up. So if you watch the YouTube version of this program, please comment on the YouTube video whether you would like
below.
To see us standing up.
Yeah, it's my time to talk shit. I did a
or sitting down
meet and greet with Omar Asmuff at Barbara Asmuffin. Some guy like, and we're like, we went through maybe the squat, and then guys were lifting, and we're just helping them with their form. And I was walking around watching the guys squat. Somebody taps me on the back. And he's like, Mike, why are super trading videos so long? And I was like, oh, like Mark's voiceovers. I was like, yeah, he can get annoying. Like that's a long 10 minutes or whatever. And he's like, no, like the interview one or whatever, like the talk show one. I was like, well, it's not really a video. It's a podcast. Like, that's why it's an hour long.
Yeah, they're about an hour long.
You're
yeah.
not supposed to just sit there and stare at us for an hour. Like, you can.
Yeah, you
that's
can.
That's fine.
We're not all that interesting.
Yeah, but it's like an audio thing. And he's right. like, oh, well, like, I like to see your, like, reactions or whatever. And I was like, that's fine, but, like, that's why it's long. Like, I don't know what a podcast either, but I understand that it's yeah. not supposed to be short.
We need to throw in some fake reactions. Shit like that, yeah.
It blows my mind, actually, how many people watch
yeah.
the video version.
Yeah, I would hope that people just play it and, you know, do dishes or whatever.
I would think so, but I don't know that that's what it,
yeah,
what it is.
I don't know either. I don't know why you guys are staring at me right now.
Do your goddamn dishes.
I feel your eyes on me.
Yeah. What does this guy want? What do all you people want? There's actually a bunch of decent questions, but they're all so lifting related.
Well, I've got one
yeah, hit us.
That I'm going to throw in here. This is actually from, I think I may have mentioned at some point on this in the past of this program that my best friend passed away a few years ago. Actually, it's longer now. It's 2007. But his son, his oldest son, is almost 16 years old. He is 6'1 and weighs 138 pounds. And,
damn.
And he wants to play football. And he actually has been playing for the last 4 years. and he asked me for some help in gaining weight. So I asked him to give me a basically a food diary of 3 or 4 days. And I got it from him last night. I'm going through it, and what I'm seeing is that he's getting maybe 3,500 calories a day.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, but he's not gaining any weight.
Yeah, yeah. What's his...
but he has a lot of activity, though. Yeah, he's a very active kid.
Kids in general on his...
yeah, he's got two little brothers, and he, you know, he just got through the wrestling season, so he wrestled, he plays
yeah.
soccer, he does this and that, the other thing. Like, how many calories am I going to tell this kid to eat?
Yeah, a lot.
More.
I think, I think consistency is key, you know. Like, so he might, when he's at home and it's a, you know, more of a laid-back day, he might get 3,500. But on some other days, it might be real hard for him to get that many in, and that's probably why. Because the weight gain isn't just a daily thing. It's more like a weekly or monthly thing.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, and it should, you know, he should be able to gain, you know, 2 or 3 pounds, you know, every month or so
mm-hmm.
for a little while anyway.
He probably needs to gain 40.
Yeah, well, shit.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be important to put it on slowly just so that you don't fatten up too
gross.
Much and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
but
first thing I'd say is focus on protein with every meal, especially as a young kid. Like,
yeah,
you know,
right.
You don't know it necessarily have to track, even though I'll suggest that, but you don't have to. But then you just have to know how much you're taking in and then eat more than that. You know, a simple thing is like, was it Wellborn says this, and I think even Stepani said, like, add something to every meal, you know, something simple like eat a peanut butter sandwich between every meal.
Yeah.
And that's just adding calories that you're currently not eating.
Yeah. And I think he's getting maybe a protein shake a day, and it's between as a snack.
Right.
And something that Mark suggested to me was like his breakfast is Eggo waffles with peanut butter and Nutella, which is about 610 calories. If he has a protein shake with that,
right.
You know,
then it'll be like 800-900 calories probably.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. Just sort of. Maybe step one, add that to breakfast.
Right.
And if you feel bloated, like use as little water or milk or whatever.
Or maybe
to
you
mix
could try the Slingshot protein.
Hell yeah. Coming out soon.
Doesn't really make you bloat. It'll dissolve in like 3 ounces of water.
Yeah.
I don't even drink protein shakes, so I hate like a big shake. But I'll take this sucker and dissolve it literally to BCAA type.
Yeah, it mixes up similar to
mixture.
This.
Put it into 3 ounces of water and just take it like a shot.
Yeah, that's
it's 30 grams of protein.
This is what I'm saying, because, I mean, a lot of people get bloat.
Yeah, yeah, right, yeah.
From,
or stomach discomfort.
Or stomach discomfort. From, and if you can cut down how much water it takes or
yeah.
milk or whatever you're using to,
yeah.
He can't, like, I would say start drinking more milk, but he can't because he's
lactose.
No, he's got asthma that is triggered by too much dairy, so... Ooh.
Yeah, just whatever way you can add a little bit of calories. But again, I think the consistency is huge. And
Just try to get there every day.
Yeah, try to get there every day. And if there's something convenient that he could have You know, even if he wakes up and uses the bathroom in the middle of the night, you know, maybe he downs a shake right there.
Yeah.
You know?
Kids probably eat pretty junk food anyways, but I would look at, like, calorie-dense stuff, you know, like butters are good. Even, like, adding a scoop of ice cream to your protein shake, like, that's not the worst idea ever.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
You know, olive oil on some stuff, a little bit of butter here and there.
Yeah.
As long as your protein's high enough, adding some butter, some avocado.
There's some snacks. Chicken with, like, you know, red meat and stuff that, you know, at least for a little while until he gains some weight and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm seeing, like, a Slurpee here, a Crunch Bar there, you know.
Which is like nothing. A Slurpee, I don't even think has
Sour Patch Kids. That's kind of nothing.
Those kind of things, not that they're, you know, quote unquote bad. The problem with them is they can still kind of take up space in your stomach.
Right.
And he'd be better off taking up space in his stomach with things that were a little bit more dense.
Yeah. Butters.
So he kind of reaches calorie, his caloric
protein
needs.
Bars here and there don't necessarily fill you up, but they have decent, like, stats. That's something you can hammer, you know, once a day with a shake once a day if you get engrossed out by other things. There's a question on Instagram, the same thing, how we always talk about losing weight and getting jacked, but we never talk about gaining weight.
I think fat is a real easy way to go. Add olive oil, coconut oil.
Right.
Guacamole or avocado or whatever.
Yeah.
Any way you can add fat, butter is a good example. I think all those things will assist. Obviously, you know, people always talk about adding carbs, but especially when it comes to healthy carbs, how many fucking healthy carbs do you eat before you start to rice and stuff like that, because it can be very it's easy to digest, but not easy to eat a ton of rice.
Yeah, I think tracking is what I always, you know, maybe not a high school kid is too hard, but for someone a little more into it, is if you track everything, you know exactly how many calories you're taking in.
Uh-huh.
Add 250 a day. If you're still not gaining weight, add it, you know, another 250 a day. Build your way up.
I think that's the approach I'm going to take with him because this is actually a really detailed thing that I got from him.
So maybe he likes that.
Yeah, I mean, the emails that I've gotten from him are very precise. I need to talk to him in person. I haven't really seen him since he was a little kid, so I had no clue he was 6'1".
That's tall.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing too is just getting the hell away from whatever the hell it is you're doing and eating, you know, like Stan, when Stan was here.
Yeah.
Stan's like, I gotta go eat. He just like, he would just,
he ate
like,
on, did one or on two exercises. Yeah.
He did one or two exercises, but it was time to eat. So he had to eat and he ate like it was his job.
Yeah.
And it kind of was. It worked.
And he was skinny. He was somebody.
Yeah.
He's a good example.
Right.
You know, he was very skinny. He weighed about the same.
Right.
And he's a little bit shorter.
And then we'd go eat somewhere, and then he'd say, "Oh, time to go to Cheesecake Factory."
Second dinners are the best.
Yeah, it was amazing.
We went to a sushi dinner after the
at LA Live.
That was
Fit
good.
Expo. That was amazing for us. It was
sake bomb. Your first sake bomb.
That was my first sake bomb. I went streaking afterwards. Jim, myself, Burdick, and Smokey probably had like a 3.5 hour dinner.
Yeah.
Mark's feeling under the weather. They had to check into a different hotel. Long story short, we literally had like a dinner, an hour long dinner. Then they showed up. And we had another dinner.
Well,
that's awesome.
It's even better than that because Burdick's like, I'm going to order some appetizers because I know that Smokey's going to be happy if he comes to the table.
Yeah, there's food.
And there's food.
Oh, that's the best.
And
there's nothing better than that. When there's food already waiting for you, it's great.
So they brought the first round of stuff, and we killed it.
Yeah.
It was gone.
Yeah, so we just kept
ordering.
He's
like, I need to order some more. So it was like, we never knew when you were going to be there.
That's great.
And so he just kept ordering stuff. I'm sure
that shit was good, man. That place
was
awesome.
Amazing. So then after that.
Those Brussels sprouts.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
We didn't. We wanted some dessert, and for some reason, LA Live didn't really have much dessert in that area.
Yeah,
so I think Mark went back to the hotel.
Yeah, LA Live, fuck you.
Yeah. So we started hiking around LA. No idea where we ended up.
We tried to go to Big Gay Ice Cream.
So we yelped, and we found a place called Big Gay Ice Cream. It was like the only place open. And we're like, fuck yeah, dude, we'll go. It looked like fancy, like an ice cream parlor. I was like, all right, dude, that sounds great. We go there, and
how bad could it be?
Yeah. How gay could it be? And so we go, and it's in the middle of a bar on the top floor of a hotel. And the guy's like, we have our backpacks and shit, and we're dressed like in hoodies and sweats for the expo. And the guy's like, you guys know this isn't a bar, right? Like, you probably just can't go get ice cream. It's going to be really crowded. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I'm trying to get some goddamn ice cream, and you're going to throw me in the middle of a bar with a bunch of drunks?
Yeah, we know you're trying to get ice cream. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Big getting ice cream.
Yeah.
So we ended up walking around all over L.A., And we were so sad. We went to a 7-Eleven. There was like nothing. It was like a little ghetto 7-Eleven.
Really ghetto 7-Eleven.
Yeah, there was absolutely nothing in there. And then we walked up the street, and right like the block before our hotel, there's the most fancy looking like pizza restaurant.
Ah.
But attached to the pizza, which was amazing, but we didn't eat it, but it looked amazing.
It did.
Attached to the pizza restaurant was like a bakery with macaroons and like fancy chocolates and shit. So we spent like $80 on fucking, we had like a, like a little pie-looking thing. I don't even know what the fuck it was, but it was like a fancy Snickers. It was caramel peanuts and like chocolate ganache or some shit. We had like, what, 15 macaroons.
Yeah.
It was a party.
Yeah. Burdick did most of the ordering, I think.
He did all of
the ordering. He did all the ordering, yes.
I'll handle this.
Yeah. I let him go and order whatever.
Then he handed me the box of macaroons and said, it's your job to hand these out.
Yeah.
So I carried the box.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And parceled them out along the way.
Jesse's so fat with that stuff.
Yeah, I trusted him.
The espresso one changed my world.
Yeah, all of them were amazing.
It was really good.
Why is he so fat?
Probably because he knows
all
about
the food. Yeah, he does that all the time.
He knows. He knows what he's doing.
He knows that shit.
I trust him 120%, 130%.
About food.
What do you think about that new logo out there, huh?
Looks amazing, man. Super training. We're getting upgraded every week.
Goddamn. We got more shit coming. We got dumbbells still. We got
new equipment.
A fucking big-ass station coming.
We got our first...
station to station.
We painted the walls, but now we got our first like logos and stuff up. Representing the squad, we got on the deadlift, behind the deadlift platform, we have like a 3D image of a slingshot or something ridiculous. I've never seen anything like that. It looks so
sick.
It's
the slingshot logo, but amazing.
Yeah, it's sick.
It's huge.
On one of the side of our black wall, we got the ST logo. We're representing BSN on one of the walls. And then
Reebok.
On the other one, we got a little Reebok Delta representing. And then we have, I don't know, a billion feet worth of white wall we still got to finish up.
Yeah, we got a lot of shit to put up on the wall.
Starting
strength
to look
is
good,
never weakness and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Got to stick that up everywhere. These guys that are doing the work for me, they're fucking awesome. They're excited to work on this big ass, you know, canvas. So
yeah,
they'll have the work cut out for them. They'll have to put up a lot of stuff.
A lot of shit. Yeah. What else we got?
Well, we got Rashid coming in, like I said, and the next thing after that is the goddamn Arnold.
Yeah. So we got Mike Rashid heading up to come kick it this week, filming, podcasting, Slingshot Protein coming within the next 2 months.
Yeah,
probably
we
6 weeks.
Matt Vincent.
Oh, yeah. The Fat Owl. Mm-hmm. Matt, the Fat Owl Vincent, will be here in a couple days.
Yeah,
he's coming off Valentine's Day. What's his deal? I think he likes us more than we like him. Have you guys ever been in that kind of friendship or relationship?
Yeah.
It's like Matt Vincent really loves us, and we think he's okay, but he's like flying out here for Valentine's Day. He better bring me flowers.
He's supposed to be bringing his wife, which I've never met her.
That's... Yeah, I thought that was a story.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, like,
my wife.
Guys,
yeah, right.
I got to go home to my wife.
Yeah, right.
Fat owls don't have wives.
Yeah, especially that fat. He's the fattest owl of all.
Yeah. And then then another week or two when we're in the freaking Columbus snow.
Oh, my God. It's going to be so cold.
Why we're getting a bigger booth, extra big booth, people.
Yep.
Three booths.
Last year, the booth next to us folded early.
Yeah.
And so we kicked down the walls and we made an athlete's lounge. And so we had sponsored athletes in there sitting around.
Yeah, this one's going to be nuts, man. I feel like each year, each show, except maybe the Olympia's been a little stagnant, kind of been the same.
Yeah.
But every other show is growing like exponentially every
year.
We
had a crappy spot at the Olympia, I felt like.
That too. This year wasn't a great
spot.
We need
height. We need aerials. Yeah. We need blimps. We need balloons.
Yeah,
we
were just
something.
Tucked behind Phil Heath's like bikini bottles.
Oh, yeah. That was weird.
Remember
her
vagina was in our face the whole time? But this weekend's spot was pretty good. And then our spot in the Arnold's pretty good.
Yeah.
Go hang out with our BSN peeps.
We will let you guys know the booth number when we know.
I'm doing a seminar type thing out there. Starting to come together so far at Matt Winning's gym. It's not open to the public, but it's a Wounded Warriors deal. So I'm excited about that. Should be pretty cool. I don't know exactly what it all entails 100% yet, but I'm excited to do it. Just donating my time. It should be fucking fun.
Some lifting.
Should be a blast.
Some knowledge.
And I might try to swing over to Rogi Rogue. I don't know if they need me, but I might try to swing over there anyway.
To show up.
Just say, hey, what's going on?
I think I'm in on Wednesday because I think it was cheaper to fly that day. So if you need any support with anything there, I will be there.
I don't even know.
I'm obviously down for anything related to Wounded Warriors and
yeah,
more on that.
I don't even know if I'm invited.
No, you're not allowed to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I normally get the heads up like a week out, like, hey, Mike, are your flights Thursday?
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, I'll go.
Yeah, you'll find out.
Get somebody to watch your dog.
Yeah.
No, you're off the team.
Oh. I'm going to go with somebody else.
All right, I think we're good for today. You know, check out our Instagrams because we'll probably be taking some questions for Mr. Rashid. So look for that coming up. You can throw your questions up there. Obviously, you can throw your questions in some of this stuff too, but be easier if it's in one spot. Multiply your hustle, multiply your muscle. May all your shits be tapered. I'm at Mark's Money Bell.
You can find me at Silent Mike with two Ks.
I'm Jim McD, STTV, everywhere that I would want you to find me. Someone quoted that back to me at the booth today, the other day. That was great. Follow the show on Instagram at Mark Bell's Powercast, on Twitter at STJimSac, because that's where it all started, and Facebook.com/SupertrainingJim. And please check us out on iTunes, whether or not that is the way you experience this podcast, and leave us a rating or review, because that really, really helps. That's a big deal. And check out our sponsors and tell them how much you love us, BSN and K-Man Coffee Co. and Bodybuilding.com and Slingshot and Power Magazine. And we're out.
Subscribe to Power Magazine at thepowermagazine.com. If you choose the digital edition, you can catch up on all the great back issues, take your training to the next level with Slingshot products at howmuchyoubench.net, and look for PSN products including NO Explode at bodybuilding.com. Mark Bell's Powercast is a production of supertraining.tv.